Today, I want to touch upon some of the Dirabbanan issues with regard to cooking on Shabbos. We discussed last time the general guidelines for bishul achar bishul, for when there is a violation of cooking min haTorah, when not. We discussed, the halacha that allows one to reheat a previously cooked dry food, but not to reheat a previously cooked liquid that has since cooled off. So today we're going to discuss two other related issues. The first is that of shihia. Shihia means literally to keep something on the flame. And that relates to the following question. If I start cooking something on Friday, am I allowed to keep it cooking on the fire into Shabbos or not? That's the question. So the Gemara in third paragraph of the Sefer Shabbos tells us that midrabanan, one is not allowed to leave a food cooking on a flame from Friday into Shabbos, even though strictly speaking min haTorah I'm not doing anything on Shabbos, I put it on the fire on Friday, but midrabanan, I'm not allowed to leave it on the flame from Friday into Shabbos. Why not? And the reason given is the following. The concern is that if it's cooking on the flame and it remains on the flame into Shabbos, I might forget myself, and on Shabbos, I might, in an effort to hasten the cooking, stoke the coals, which was in those days the type of fire that they had. And stoking the coals is obviously a melacha min haTorah. I cannot do that. So for that reason, the Gemara said, one is not allowed, the Mishnah said, one is not allowed to leave any food cooking on the fire from Friday into Shabbos. Now, there are a number of heterim. We'll discuss three basic heterim, all of which are very critical, because obviously if I want to leave something warm for Friday night, under what circumstances I'm allowed to leave it on the flame from Friday into Shabbos. So the first issue is the following. There is a machlokas in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, as to at what point of the cooking do we now say, I'm no longer worried, I might stoke the coals, and now I can leave it on the fire into Shabbos. Meaning, according to one opinion in the Gemara, and this is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, even if the food that is on the fire is already totally cooked, but if I'm leaving it on the flame because added time on the fire makes it better, that alone is sufficient to prohibit me under the Gezerah of Shehiya from leaving it on the flame from Friday into Shabbos. So again, according to the Shulchan Aruch, even if my food is totally cooked, I put it up Friday early afternoon, and now when Shabbos arrives, it's already totally cooked, but I want to keep it on the fire a little bit longer because that helps improve it somewhat, that would still be prohibited midrabanan on the basis of Shehiya, because I might stoke the coals Friday night to make it cook a little faster. That is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, however, the Ramah paskins more leniently as follows. The Ramah says that Ikar Adin, Ramah says, our custom is to be lenient, that so long as the food was cooked enough that it's already edible, even though it's not yet totally cooked, but it's cooked enough that it's already edible, which in the Gemara was known as, it was cooked like the food of Ben Drusai, it was cooked Kama'achal Ben Drusai, who was a known outlaw who always ate on the run. So the Gemara says, if you cook your food as well as his food was cooked, that's sufficient to leave it on the flame from Friday into Shabbos. How cooked is that exactly? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that means if it's one half cooked, if it's cooked halfway, if normally whatever dish you're cooking has to be cooked for an hour, and now it's cooked for half an hour before Shabbos starts, if it's cooked half of the amount of time that it's supposed to be cooked, that's already considered enough cooking to allow me to leave it on the fire from Friday into Shabbos. So this is very relevant. If let's say I put up my chalons, and I didn't do it before work Friday morning. I come back and it's an early Shabbos. I put up my chalons a couple hours before Shabbos. Am I allowed to leave the chalons cooking on the elements, on the fire, on the crock pot base, into Shabbos? So the halacha, strictly speaking, is that as long as it's already one half cooked, that would be sufficient to let me continue to leave it cooking from Friday into Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah goes so far as to say that b'di'eved, it's a really short Friday, it's really pressed for time, b'di'eved, the Mishnah Berurah says, as long as it's one-third cooked before Shabbos starts, that already is enough of a cooking to allow me to keep it on the flame and to finish off its cooking on Shabbos. So again, Mishnah Berurah says, the Ramah paskins mikra adin, as long as it's cooked for half its total cooking time. Before Shabbos starts, I can let it cook the rest of the cooking time in Shabbos. The Di'eved, the Mishnah Berurah says, if I'm really pressed, I can let it continue cooking from Friday to Shabbos, so long as it's one-third cooked before Shabbos starts. Because that's the Ikar Hadin, according to the Ramah, how we paskin halacha l'maisa. Now the Mishnah Berurah does say, however, that ideally one should try to do whatever we can to ensure that food is totally cooked before Shabbos starts. This is not something we want to rely upon l'chatchila. If, however, due to whatever pressures, time constraints that we're under, we are unable to have our food totally cooked before Shabbos, so then as long as it's one half cooked before Shabbos starts, it can continue cooking from Friday into Shabbos and stay on the fire and finish cooking that way. Okay, so that's the opening, most basic halacha of Shehiyah. Any questions so far?
Right. Some foods have a very approximate, vague sense of where's the third, where's the half,
right.
When is it really done, what, you know, cholent can be done at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, but it has a very different taste at 12 o'clock Shabbos day.
Right.
So it's cooked to the point where everything is soft, everything's edible, but are you concerned?
That's what's critical. As long as it's cooked to the point that's already edible,
okay.
Then according to the Ramah, that's all I need maker adin to allow me to keep it cooking.
Okay.
Well, the one half and one third are just approximations how long it takes
right.
to be considered already edible.
Okay.
The truth is, post say if you know when it's already edible, that's probably a better measure of time than the actual half or third.
Right.
What I mean is the following. If it's cooked for a third of the total cooking time, if I know there's no way it's edible yet at all,
yeah.
then I should not rely on that heter of, it's one third cooked so I can keep it on the fire.
Right.
The one third and one half cooking time is assuming that that's when it's already edible.
Right. Mm-hmm. What you just said at the very end, that lechatchila you should really be fully, completely cooked if you can.
Ideally, you can, right.
So something like a cholent, you should try to have it be not just at the edible stage, if you have enough time. And
If you can do it Friday morning, then there's plenty of time to cook before Shabbos. That's certainly ideal.
Okay.
If not, then you certainly can rely on the Ramah who says that the minhag is to allow, as long as it's one half cooked, to continue cooking into Shabbos. Okay?
Sorry. I apologize if I'm trolling utterly wrong. Isn't there the concept of putting it up like the second before Shabbos?
Oh, I'm getting to that. Yes, thank you.
Sorry.
That's next to mine. That's okay. Next to mine.
I'm jumping ahead.
No, no problem. It's fine. So I'm addressing it right now.
Okay,
right. There is another heter quote in Shulchan Aruch that's referred to as kidra chaisa, which means raw food. And what that means is the following. Because the only isser of leaving food cooking from Friday to Shabbos is based on the concern I might forget myself and stoke the coals to hasten the cooking process on Shabbos, so Halacha says, what happens if I put up a raw pot of meat right before Shabbos starts? There's no chance that it's going to be done for Friday night, regardless of how much I stoke the coals. So because there is no concern I might stoke the coals because it's not going to help me, so Halacha says that, strictly speaking, if one puts up a raw pot of meat right before Shabbos starts, then you're allowed to let it cook into Shabbos. Or even if the pot of food contains one raw piece of meat, the whole pot of food is then considered like a raw pot of meat. So take a cholent, for example. You put up a cholent right before Shabbos starts, and you throw in a piece of raw meat, the entire cholent is now included in this heter of a raw pot of food, where there's no concern I might stoke the coals. Or, in today's lingo, there's no concern I might raise the heat setting because it's not going to be finished cooking no matter what by Friday night. Now, the restrictions on this heter, however, are the following. This is only relevant, number one, if I put up the food right before Shabbos starts, meaning it did not even reach Yad Soledus Bo before Shabbos starts, before Shkia. If I put it up half an hour before Shkia, or 20 minutes before Shkia, and it's already at Yad Soledus Bo at 110 degrees before Shabbos starts, it's no longer considered a raw pot of meat, because it's already started the cooking process. This heter is only relevant if I put it up so close to sunset that it did not even have time to reach 110 degrees yet. Now, you gotta be careful, obviously. You don't want to run into sunset, but you can't put it up too soon because then it's going to be obsolete by the time sunset hits. So that's one caveat. Only if it's not at Yad Soletispo by the time sunset comes around. And secondly, the second caveat for this heter is the following. This again is only assuming that there's no chance that this food will be ready by Friday night dinner, no matter what I do. You know, if because of today's more efficient cooking standards, theoretically, if I were to raise the control to the highest setting, it would be done in time for Friday night dinner, then I wouldn't have this heter anymore. Because the whole heter is assuming that no matter how high I cook the flame, it's not going to be ready for Friday night no matter what, so I'm not going to bother thinking about it. But if, theoretically, this food, even though I put it up right before Shabbos, could be ready for Friday night supper if I raise the setting to the highest setting, then this heter would not apply anymore.
So what about, like, let's say in the winter, Shabbos is at 4 o'clock.
Right.
Technically, if you put, let's say, chicken in the crock pot on high for like 3 hours, it will be edible.
By dinner time.
Right. So like 7 o'clock is like a reasonable dinner time.
Right.
You know, most people may eat at like 5:30 if Shabbos is at 4, but.
Right. So it might depend on what your eating plans are for that night. Meaning, if you're going to be done eating for the night by 6 o'clock and it's not going to be ready by then, no matter what you do, then you might still have that heter to work with. But if you're somebody who has, you know, a Friday night Onik Shabbos, Cholent, or whatever else people might do Friday night in the winter, then that would be a problem because theoretically it would be ready by Friday night, and then I'm worried that I might come to raise the setting and hasten the cooking. So the truth is, you know, with regular pots on the stovetop, this heter is not going to be so relevant because most pots on the stovetop, I would assume that most stuff, I don't know what you're cooking, but I guess most dishes you can cook within a couple of hours very easily. Maybe if you're putting up a chalent on a slow cooker, which will require minimum 5 hours or 6 hours to be edible for a Friday night, and that's not going to be in any way done by the time you're done with supper and your Onik Shabbos, then maybe you'd have this heter of putting it up right before sunset, but again, only if it's not at Yad Soletispo before sunset. So it's a very, very circumscribed, restricted heter. It's not so easily applied. Okay? Yeah?
When we say by the time Shabbos starts, it would never be ready by the time Shabbos starts, is that only considered Friday night, or can you go into Shabbos day? What's that?
So if it's going to be ready Shabbos morning,
right.
That's not a concern of ours, because even if I don't raise the setting, it has all night to cook.
Right.
So it's going to be ready even without raising the setting.
Okay.
So if I put up a chalent right before Shkia, and it doesn't hit Yad Soletispo but before Shkia,
mm-hmm.
and there's no chance, no matter how high I raise the setting, it's going to be done for Friday night.
Okay.
It will be done Friday Shabbos morning, regardless of whether I keep it on low or on high. So that's fine, because I have no incentive to turn it to high, since even keeping it on low is going to be sufficient for cooking it for Shabbos morning.
Okay. The hour of the time is still like your Friday night's done.
Right. That's exactly it. As long as there's no chance it's going to be done for Friday night,
mm-hmm.
and it's not Yad Soletispo but before Shkia, then this heter would apply. But again, it's not always going to be that easily relevant unless you're using a slow cooker and you follow those guidelines. Okay, so that's the second heter, so to speak, for Shkia. Okay, so far we discussed how much it's cooked in terms of allowing me to keep it on the fire from Friday into Shabbos, and now the raw pot heter from Friday into Shabbos. The third heter to allow me to keep food cooking from Friday into Shabbos, what I mean now is even if it's not a third cook before Shabbos starts, and even if it hit Yad Soletispo before Shkia, there's one more final heter to allow me to keep food cooking from Friday into Shabbos. And that is, in the words of the Mishnah, Garuf V'Katum, which meant, in times of the Mishnah, I either removed all the coals from the stove before Shabbos starts, or I covered the coals with ashes before Shabbos starts. Either one of those actions would be enough to negate any concern that I might come to stoke the coals. Obviously, if the coals aren't there, I can't stoke the coals. But even if the coals are there, they're just covered over by ashes, Rishonim say that covering the coals with ashes is, number one, going to minimize the heat somewhat. It's going to cool it off a little bit. And number two, also going to serve as a very, very clear reminder that I shouldn't stoke the coals. There's a covered over. I'm going to see the covered over coals with ashes. I'm going to remember, no stoking the coals. So, that is the heter in the Mishnah of Garuf V'Katum. When the coals are covered over or removed, there's no concern of leaving my pot cooking in the fire from Friday into Shabbos. Practically speaking, obviously, on our modern-day stovetops, there are no coals to remove. Our concern, today's stoves and ovens, is the turning of the control to a higher setting. That's the concern. So the Achronim write that this is where the blech comes in. That if I have a blech that I cover my fire with, that's the equivalent of covering the coals with ashes in the times of the Mishnah. Now, the only difference is the following. Times of the Mishnah, when you covered your coals, the heat source was covered, and you couldn't stoke them anymore because you have a visible reminder covering the coals not to stoke them. Today, if I cover my heat source, the fire, I still might do the modern-day equivalent of stoking the coals, which is raise the setting on the control knob. So, for that reason, Moshe Feinstein writes that Me'ikar Din is sufficient to just take a flat metal sheet as a blech and cover my fire and put my pot on top of the metal sheet. He says it's best if I cover the controls as well, so that way I won't even forget and raise the setting on the fire. So if somebody has the right angle blech, that's the ideal. If not, if you have a flat metal blech sheet, you cover the fire with that and then just put something else, aluminum foil, on top of the control settings so you don't forget to, on Shabbos, you don't forget and accidentally move the settings, the controls. So if I have such a blech, then what this allows me to do is the following. If I come home and it's an early Shabbos in the winter, and I'm rushing to put up my shalom right before Shabbos starts, and it's going to come out to less, but before Shkia, there's no problem if I have a blech covering the fire. I put the pot on top of the blech. No matter how little it's been cooked so far, I can let it finish cooking into Shabbos without any concerns at all. If somebody has a crock pot for their chalent, so you could use aluminum foil instead of a hard metal blech to cover the crock pot base. That would also serve as a blech. I saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach felt that one layer of aluminum foil is not sufficient. I guess he was concerned that it might not in any way lower the intensity of the heat. So presumably if you have like a heavy-duty aluminum foil sheet or just a double layer of aluminum foil sheet, that would certainly be sufficient, according to everybody, to put over the crockpot base to serve as a blech to allow it to keep the chalent cooking into Shabbos.
It's within the entire frame of the base, if it's like a big bowl.
Right, you mean the insert ones, the rival ones?
Yeah.
Right, so those are a little more challenging because you have to like line the entire mm-hmm. inside all around.
Just covering
the knob is not ideal because it's not covering the heat source. There are some poskim who say that that's what you have to do, but Rav Moshe Feinstein posits you should cover both the heat source primarily and, if you can, the knob as well.
So you have to put the whole inside of the
crock pot? Line the inside with aluminum foil, right. Again, if your child is a third cook before Shabbos starts, mm-hmm. or a halfway cook, then make it and you don't have to. Because this is all if your child's not a third cooked. Right?
If
your child's halfway cooked. I'm sorry?
If you're all cooked before and you don't have to worry about it.
Not a problem at all. Correct. Oh, right. Okay. If your child is fully cooked or even halfway cooked before Shabbos starts, no need for silver foil at all.
Oh.
This need for the blech or the silver foil is only if it's not halfway cooked before Shabbos starts.
Is there a difference in the silver foil if you're going to remove the chalent with having in mind to put it back?
That's another issue. We'll get to that shortly. But right now we're discussing only being allowed to keep it on the fire from Friday into Shabbos.
Okay.
So as far as that's concerned, if it's halfway cooked, no need for anything. If it's not halfway cooked, then ideally you should have some sort of blech or aluminum foil lining the element.
What if the bowl inside the crock pot is just like you could like lift it off, like you take tin foil and you just crumble into a bowl to like take it off? Like,
right, I think that's a where's the heating element? It's all on the sides though, isn't it?
But you're like yes,
that's for Hatmana.
That's for Hatmana. That is for Hatmana. That's not Hatmana concern. Yeah, that will maybe get to a different share. Right, but to cover the, you know, for the purposes of Shehiyah, you have to cover the heating element entirely. So you need like a flat sheet of foil to cover it. And I think in the Zweihammer crock pot supplies all along the sides as well, I assume.
Yeah,
so you have to line the sides also. Okay. Finally, with regard to Shehiyah, if somebody wants to leave food on a hot plate from Friday to Shabbos, there's no need to worry about anything at all. Because hot plates nobody cooks on. And the hot plates, generally speaking, have only one setting. You can't raise the setting. There's no setting to raise. So there's no concern, Shemi Chata V'Gachalim. There's no concern I might change the heat setting on it. So if I want to keep food on a hot plate into Shabbos, that's certainly fine. No need for any aluminum foil, any blech at all. That would be fine.
There's no concern that the hot plate gets hot enough that you could cook on it.
Theoretically, you could cook on a hot plate, but nobody does. Okay. At least not in this part of the world, I think. Right? So there's no concern. I mean, there's also no heat setting to change. So that's also part of the issue as well.
There's a hot plate that you can set the temperature and then remove the knob. Is that okay?
It has multiple settings, mm-hmm. but remove the knob. Is it designed for cooking on or just for heating, for warming?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that'll also be sufficient. That way you also remove any concern of raising. You can't raise it without the knob?
Right.
Yeah, okay, that'd be fine.
That's different than from the pressure of putting it on.
Yeah, that we're getting to now. Getting to that.
Okay.
It's coming up next.
Right.
This is all Shehiyah. This is just Friday night at the Shabbos.
Your food has to be fully cooked when you put it on the hot plate.
Not necessarily. Meaning, because there's no concern of Shemei Chata B'Kachal, since there's no concern of raising the settings on it, because there's no settings to raise, then even if it's not fully cooked, it's not a problem. Because you're not putting it on Shabbos, you're putting it on Friday.
Okay.
It's cooking by itself as Shabbos begins, and there's no concern you might raise the coals, raise the settings, because there's no settings to raise on it.
Is there any concern in terms of the hot plate with what we were talking about last week with the liquidiness?
The liquid factor is when you're putting food on a heat source on Shabbos.
Okay.
And then the question was, if it was already cooked before Shabbos, can I reheat it on Shabbos? So we said if it was liquidy, and it cooled off beyond the point of being considered hot, you couldn't reheat it on Shabbos. Here we're discussing only putting it on Friday and letting it stay on into Shabbos.
Right. So if I have chicken, for instance, and I realize right before Shabbos that it's just a little bit underdone, but I can leave it on the hot plate and it will probably get to the point where it's best to be eaten. Food safety wise, it's okay to leave it on. But
right.
It would not be okay if I discovered that Friday night while eating it, put it in the fridge overnight, and then early Shabbos morning, I can't put it back on.
Was it totally cooked or not in this case?
Like a little bit pink inside, for instance.
It's not totally done yet.
Yeah.
If it wasn't totally done yet, then you cannot put it back on Shabbos morning, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right, right,
okay.
Right.
Oh, what about, with the meat, if it's rare? I think I wanted to ask this.
Right, someone last time asked this, was it you? I don't remember who was. Somebody asked this question.
I think I must call
right.
you. Because I know I have this every week almost. I know that, let's say, my husband likes it really rare, but certain guests would think it's raw almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So,
right.
If I put it.
To reheat it on Shabbos this morning.
Yeah, and it'll get. So it's really technically cooked, and that's the way my family eats it.
Right.
But other people might not eat it that way.
Right. It's a good question. I would assume if for you it's already totally done and you're just putting it on the hot plate Shabbos morning, not to cook it further, but just to warm it up.
No, but let's say I have a mind
You have a mind to do it for somebody who wants it better,
yeah,
more cooked.
Yeah, let's say I figured
That might be the deciding factor. Meaning, if you're eating it and as far as you're concerned it's done, you're just warming it up again, that's fine. But if you're putting it on because for the person you're serving it to, it's not done yet, and you want to cook it further, that's probably. That could be more problematic. I haven't seen anyone discuss this explicitly. I asked someone in Yeshiva about it also, but he wasn't sure himself. But I would think that it could be that depends on who you're serving it to and what their
right,
what
I
their standards are.
You could play mind games with yourself, but I know it's definitely something that comes up.
I think you have to figure out how long do I cook this before I eat it in general. And did I cook it long enough before Shabbos to be totally cooked by my standards? And then if it's totally cooked, as far as I'm concerned, I'm only putting it on to warm it up then you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're putting it on because someone else will view it as raw and you want to cook it further, that's a problem.
According to the first heter, that if it's more than halfway cooked, it's okay to leave on, you don't need a
blech? No, do not.
But people don't do that, right?
People might not do that because they might want to be makor for the Shulchan Aruch, who says it has to be totally cooked. So right, it could be that people want to be, you know, if you want to be machmir, it's very easy to be machmir, just put a blech on it. Because Mishnah Berurah does recommend that chatchila try to be machmir for the Shulchan Aruch, who says it should be totally cooked before Shabbos. So if you want to follow that chumrah, then just put
a blech
on it.
Totally cooked, you don't need a blech.
According to Shulchan Aruch, if it's totally cooked and it's not going to get better by staying
right
on the fire, there's no need for blech at all, as far as Shehi is concerned, as far as Friday into Shabbos is concerned. But if it's going to improve with more time on the fire, then according to the Shulchan Aruch, you would need a blech. So if you want to be machmir for the Shulchan Aruch, which Mishnah Berurah recommends, then you'd have a good reason to use a blech.
Sorry. so is that, I apologize, I don't know what compared to what, but like if you have something in the oven and it's like, you know, whatever point it is, if you turn the oven off and you cover whatever your oven control is, would that be considered the same thing?
You turn the oven off.
Turn the oven off. In other words,
if the oven's off already.
You put it up to 400,
right,
you know, to get it all the way high and then
right
turn it off right before Shabbos.
If the oven's off, totally off, then there's no concern at all. Because
okay,
there's no fire there anymore. It's totally off. That's fine.
Even if it wasn't cooked at all?
Well, how's it still cooking if it's not cooked? Meaning,
really,
the fire.
You know, I actually had it this week. I
right
put in chicken, all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, I need more chicken cutlets. So
right
I quickly put it on very high,
right,
and I shut it off right when I. And I don't know, I didn't even open the oven enough to see what happened, and
what
then I just kept it
yeah
closed
it's
on
it. Not really.
And then, like,
but
turned,
but you turned it off though. It's not
yeah,
off.
Yeah, turn it off.
Turn it
as
off
long as the oven is off before Shabbos, then it's like putting it on your radiator and just leaving it there.
But you're allowed to cook something even if.
So you're not cooking because you put it on Friday, you turned off the heat source before Shabbos started. So as far as Shabbos is concerned, you didn't do anything. You didn't do any ma'aseh cooking on Shabbos.
The cooking.
And even
this. Right, the cooking process was taking place.
Right, even
Shabbos,
though it's still
cooking
because of the heat that's still there, it's all residual heat, so there's no problem at all. The concern is either putting it on a heat source on Shabbos or keeping it on an active heat source from Friday into Shabbos. In your case, it's neither because you turned it off before Shabbos, and that's fine. There's no problem at all.
So you're going to set a timer, probably shut off.
That would be a shehiya problem. Then you'd have to worry about is it how well cooked is it? Meaning,
right,
then you have to start worrying, is it totally cooked or halfway cooked? So again, if it's halfway cooked, then mikra din, it's not a problem. That'd be fine. You might have to worry about opening the oven before it shuts off. That's going to cause the thermostat to kick on the flame again. That's another problem.
Right.
But assuming you're going to have the timer shut off the oven before you open the oven,
right,
and it's halfway cooked already, so there's no concern of shehiya, that's fine. Okay. The second topic of discussion for tonight, which is also related, is not of shehiya, but of chazara. And this is also another issur habanan. Chazara is defined as putting something back on the fire. And midr habanan, even though if something is totally cooked from before Shabbos, there's no problem as far as cooking goes if it were to be reheated on Shabbos, midr habanan, there is an issur of putting something, even if it's totally cooked, back on the fire on Shabbos. Now, certainly, if it was not in the fire at all, and putting it on the fire for the first time is going to be usur, but even if it was on the fire, because it was halfway cooked before Shabbos started, and it stayed on the fire, and you take it off the fire on Shabbos, and you want to put it back on the fire on Shabbos, that's also a problem of chazara, of putting it back on the fire on Shabbos. Why is chazara prohibited? So here the Rishonim give two reasons. Either chazara is prohibited because, again, like the concern of shehiya, I might stoke the coals or raise the setting on the stovetop to heat it faster. Or there's a second concern mentioned with regard to chazara, and that is putting something on the fire looks like I'm cooking, even if the food is totally cooked already. But the act of putting it on the fire on Shabbos looks like I'm cooking, and that's the second reason given why chazara is prohibited, midr habanan. So this obviously is most relevant if somebody wants to, well, first of all, reheat for Shabbos morning. That's what this is all about. Chazara is all about that issur of putting something on the fire for the first time on Shabbos. But even, let's say, if I want to take some challahs out of my crock pot on Friday night and put it back on for Shabbos morning, that's also the same question of chazara. Now, why can't I just scoop challahs out of my crock pot while it's on the fire without taking it off beforehand? Why not have to worry
I'm
about
mixing
right.
pieces with cooking.
So the reason is because the halacha is that stirring food is something which is considered a violation of mevashal, because stirring is what you do when you want to extend the cooking. And even if, and this is somewhat tough to understand, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes that even if my food is already totally cooked, I'm still not supposed to stir it while it's on the fire. Why that should be so is unclear, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Beis Yosef, it quotes the Kolbo, one of the Rishonim, who says that stirring food on the fire should not be done even if it's totally cooked. It's on the basis of that opinion that the Achronim say that spooning, dishing out from the food while it's on the fire is also the same problem. If I can't stir food that's on the fire, then I can't dish out of it either, because that's also going to be an act of stirring. So for that reason, I have to first take my pot off the fire and then put it back on. And the question is, on what grounds am I allowed to do that as far as Chazara is concerned? One second. Okay, so there are a number of conditions under which I am allowed to take a pot off the fire and put it back on the fire. Number one, obviously, only if the food is totally cooked. If my food's not totally cooked, then it's not a question of chazar, which is asam drabanan. It's a much more serious question of bishul min haTorah. So we're obviously talking about food that's already totally cooked. So that means if I want to serve some challah on Friday night, before I pick the crock pot off the base, I have to be totally sure that the chalent is totally cooked. Otherwise, even if I have my blech and whatever else I might have in mind to put it back on, I'm holding it the whole time, it's not going to help. If it's not totally cooked, you have a much more serious problem. You can't put it back on the fire once you've taken it off. So that's rule number one. Before you take anything off the fire, make sure it's totally cooked beforehand. Okay, that's condition number one. Condition number two is that once I take it off the fire, I'm only allowed to put it back on the fire if it's either a dry, solid food or a liquid food that hasn't cooled off. Again, if I take soup off the blech Friday night, and then I want to put it back on for someone to have some a little bit later, if I had the soup off long enough that it has since cooled off, I can't put it back on the blech because it's no longer warm or hot. That's considered bishul acha bishul by davar lach, by a liquidy food. So it has to be totally cooked, and if it's a liquidy food, it cannot have cooled off beyond the point of considered hot. Number three, obviously, the heter of chazara is only relevant if I have a blech. Again, that same condition of gar fakatum, of having the coals or the heat source covered. So the blech really serves two purposes on Shabbos. The blech allows me to keep food on the fire from Friday into Shabbos if the food was not yet a halfway cooked, or according to the Shulchan Aruch, if it wasn't totally cooked. And the blech also allows me to put food back on the fire after taking it off, assuming it's totally cooked and hasn't cooled off yet, if it's liquidy. The last two conditions that are also necessary are that, number one, I have to have in mind when I take off the pot to put it back on, and number two, I have to keep it in my hand the entire time. I can't just put it down and forget about it and then decide 20 minutes later to put it back on the fire. It has to be in my hand the entire time. So if I want to take challah Friday night, my challah is number one, totally cooked. My crock pot is lined with some heavy-duty aluminum foil. I take it off. I have in mind to put it back on as I take it off. I keep my hand on it the entire time as I'm spooning out of it, dishing out of it. And then I put it right back on. That would be sufficient. That would be okay. Okay, so those are the five conditions of chazara to allow one to put food back on the flame when taken up on Shabbos.
With the crock pot taking it off and all the conditions of chazara, if I don't have my crock, if it's fully cooked, the charwood, but I don't have it lined.
You can do it on Shabbos.
You can still take it off and then put it back.
Only if you have some, you have to line it before you put it back on.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. What does the lining do?
Meaning the line is like a blech, which serves as a reminder that you shouldn't change the setting on the crock pot. Or it serves to make it look like you're not, it serves to avoid the concern that it looks like you're cooking.
Okay, so if I don't wanna do the whole chazara thing and it's cooked beforehand, I don't need the wine with the silver foil. If it's fully cooked before Shabbos.
Correct.
I only need the silver foil if I want the option of taking off
And putting
some
back
chilling
on.
And putting it back.
Correct. Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Sorry, quick question. Just because I always get mixed up. Blech is the same thing for this situation, is the blech the same thing as a hot plate?
No, we'll get hot plates soon.
Okay.
Yeah,
Just
in a second.
wanted to
But since you mentioned it, I am allowed to put some makeshift blech over my fire on Shabbos. But if I initially decided that I wasn't going to, if on Friday I thought I wasn't going to need to do chazara, and then I decide on Shabbos morning, you know what, I'll have some challah a little bit early and I'll have the rest later for lunch, I can take my pot off, challah pot off, and then put some sort of, if I have it handy, that is, I can put some sort of
pre-cut
aluminum foil or some upside down or some flat cookie sheet on top of the base, and then put it back on top of that. So again, if you have that handy, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos also.
We still have to have a hand on.
Yeah, you have to keep your hand on the crock pot the whole time, right? Right, you have to, correct. Right, right. Right. I get your liner ready first, and then right, correct, right. Okay. Bidyeved. Okay. Thanks. Bidyeved. Mishnah Berurah says, if I was missing one of the last two conditions, was if bidyeved, I took my pot off the flame, and either I put it down and took my hand off, and then I realized, oh shucks, I should not have done that. Or if I took it off without consciously thinking I want to put it back on afterwards, if only one of those two conditions is lacking, but the oven I can still put it back on. So, again, it must be totally cooked. It must be that the flame is covered. It must be that it hasn't cooled off yet totally. It must be that all those three are conditions are met. But in terms of the last two conditions, you have to have in mind when you take it off, put it back on, and you have to keep your hand on it the entire time. If one of those last two is lacking, but the avid, you can still put it back on, that would be okay.
So if you had like a chum pot and a soup pot on the bus, come back and take the chum pot off, and you could put it back on and take...
Meaning you never intend to take a chum pot off.
No,
you took the wrong pot by mistake.
You want the soup on Friday night, and back and you take the chum pot off.
Mm-hmm. Right? So...
Your hand's not on it. It's on the counter.
Your hand's not on it.
No.
So there you didn't even have mind to put it back on.
Well, you wanted the soup pot, you didn't want the chum pot.
Right, so there you didn't have in mind to put it back on, and you put it down and you left go over it already.
Right.
So I think there are some posts that allow you to put it back there. I didn't see that quoted, because there was no intent to take it off the fire. It was the wrong pot that you, it was a mistake that you took off. I think there are some posts who would allow you then to put it back on. Machlokas HaPoskim. Some say you can put it back on a covered flame, some say that you can't. Okay, so what to say if you're stuck, you just want to rely on. Shlomo Zalman Aruch allows you to put it back on in that scenario. Okay. With regard to hot plates, Rav Shimon Eider quotes of Moshe Feinstein, who said that because hot plates are not used for cooking, and because there's no multiple settings on the hot plates, so he allowed you to put food on the hot plates l'chatchila Shabbos morning, provided that it's totally cooked before Shabbos, and provided it's totally dry and not liquidy, and there's no concern of hachzara. Because again, the concerns of hachzara are either it looks like you're cooking, or you might come to stoke the coals or raise the setting. Well, on a hot plate, if nobody ever cooks on it, and there's only one setting, you can't raise it, so neither concern is relevant. So according to Rav Moshe, one will be allowed to take cold chicken cutlets out of the fridge Shabbos morning and put it straight onto the hot plate without any worries.
Straight onto the hot plate?
Yeah.
No need to put anything in between it?
Not necessary. Right. Not necessary. There are those that are machmir. The reason why some people do it on the upside down tin is not just so the chicken shouldn't burn, but it's also because there are some post kumar machmir. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, for example, does not allow one to put food on a hot plate straight on Shabbos morning. Mr. Belovsky in one of his shiurim said that he had his brother-in-law ask the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa directly, why did he answer it? And he said, because in Israel they didn't cook raw vegetables on their hot plates. That's how they usually cook them.
Yeah.
So, I guess in Israel, that's how people cook. That's more of a concern, obviously. Here, perhaps it's not much of a concern because I don't think people cook on hot plates. It's not advertised as such, right? So, presumably there's less worry here as far as hot plates are concerned. But I guess those who use the upside down tins are just being mocked for that stringent approach. But Rav Moshe Feinstein allowed it even without the upside down tins. There is another heter quoted in the Shulchan Aruch with regard to reheating food on Shabbos morning, and that is to put food on top of another pot of food that's sitting on the fire. So if I have a crock pot of cholent, or I have a pot that's sitting on the flame directly, and that I was allowed to do because that food was halfway cooked before Shabbos started. And now I want to warm up some potato kugel for supper or for Shabbos lunch, I'm going to have to place that potato kugel directly on that pot that's sitting on the fire. That's not a problem, because everyone knows there's no... You're not cooking when you put kugel on top of a crock pot. No one cooks like that. And I guess there's no concern you might adjust the setting, because the food that's on the fire is already totally cooked. So halacha says straight out, you're allowed to put food to heat it up or warm it up by putting it on a pot of food that's on the fire, even if the kugel reaches out to lettuce, though, it's not a problem. Again, assuming it was totally cooked before Shabbos, you can reheat it by putting it on top of the pot of food on Shabbos.
And does that also have to be dry?
Yes. If it's going to hit Yatza lettuce bowl, then it has to be dry also.
As putting it directly on.
Right. Okay. If it's not going to hit Yatza lettuce bowl, then it doesn't have to be dry. It could be liquidy, because it's never going to get that hot, so it wouldn't be a problem.
What about turning on your urn, which I guess is not on a pot, just like on the element itself?
On the urn. But the urn itself has an element at the bottom of it.
Right.
So the water is technically on the fire, which is beneath it. So I have the urn on the top of the urn is also, it's like a pot full of water, full of food. So you can put it on top of there also, that's fine.
If your potato kugel has a little bit of like an oily residue around it,
not a problem.
That's
fine.
Not the pot that you're trying to eat.
That's fine. As long as there's no recognizable pool of liquid at the bottom of the pot. Right, meaning even if grease oozes out or oils ooze out of the food, that's not a problem. It's only a concern when there's noticeable pool of liquid at the bottom of the pot on the pan. Right.
Even so, if it gets very, very hot, that's okay because it's not a normal way of cooking.
Right.
Let's say it doesn't get to Yatza lettuce bowl, could you put liquid on it?
If a hot pot does not get to Yatza lettuce bowl?
Yeah.
Then yeah.
Yeah.
If it will never heat anything to Yatza lettuce bowl, no matter how long you keep it on, then you can put in liquid on it.
Practically, that doesn't make this hot.
Right, probably not.
You take a big
pack
of soup, right, on Shabbos afternoon if I want to heat up my soup and I put it on the crock pot, would that be okay? If I put it on the block, on the hot plate, it's not going to get to you to lettuce.
If you take a pot of soup?
Yeah, my big pot of soup Friday night, and I decided I want it for Shabbos day.
Uh-huh.
I put it on the hot plate.
Well, how long? Let's say keep it 3 hours, we'll get you to lettuce then?
Yatza, you can't touch it with the hand.
No, 110 degrees. Meaning, Yatza lettuce bowl means that if you thought it was cold and you touched it, you might instinctively draw your hand back. But if you know it's hot, you can still put your hand in it, probably. I mean, people
I mean,
often...
I don't know.
I think the mushroom given is, let's say, a hot bath is like 105 or something like that. Is that what people say?
Yeah.
So, it's not that hot.
After a few hours,
can you
take it off before it gets to Yatza lettuce
bowl?
No, you can't.
Meaning, if the possibility exists that it might get that hot, then you can't put it on altogether. I think a hot plate could heat a pot of soup after a number of hours, Yatza lettuce bowl.
It doesn't matter how many hours. If, like, you leave it on for, like, the next 24 hours, it will get there eventually.
Right, as long as it gets there eventually, you can't put it on altogether. Right. It could be that if you're visiting Israel, maybe then there'd be more reason to be machmir the hot plate, because if in Israel it actually is the way that people cook sometimes. There might be maybe more reason to ask her there putting chicken on a hot plate Shabbos morning. But at least here, if nobody cooks on a hot plate, then you can put it straight on Shabbos morning.
If you have a blech, that heat, it's not even like a hot plate. But the heat is not even.
If a blech.
A colder spot
right.
And more
right.
Warmer spots. Are you still allowed to put food directly on the blech? No,
so on a blech, the spot that's directly over the fire, you can't put food on Shabbos.
Okay.
that you, unless you have all these conditions of chazar, it was there before, you took it off, had a mat, etc. But if you want to put food from the fridge Shabbos morning on a part of the blech that is off the fire and is not yet to lettuce, but that you could do. So if you have a part of the blech that's far enough away from the fire that's less than 110 degrees, then you could put chicken from the fridge on that part of the blech Shabbos morning without a problem. But a part of the blech that is yet to lettuce, but even if it's not directly on the fire, you could not put food on that part of the blech.
Even if it's not liquid and it was cooked beforehand completely?
I mean, if you have chicken cutlets totally cooked on Shabbos on Friday, right, and they're in the fridge Friday night, you want to put them on the blech Shabbos morning, so you're allowed to put them on a part of the blech that's not yatzal lettuce bow, but a part of the blech that is yatzal lettuce bow, a blech, not a hot plate, is like putting it on the fire. And
why is he allowed to put it on a hot plate and it's yatzal lettuce bow?
Because a blech, which is on the actual fire that you usually cook on, that's more of a concern, it looks like you're cooking. since people normally cook on stovetops, so you can't put it on the fire l'chatchila on Shabbos morning because there's more of a concern it looks like you're cooking. Hot plates you're allowed to because no one ever cooks on hot plates.
The blech is really very tricky because you have to really, how do you find the spot that you know is not, yeah, it's a lettuce bowl
right.
That's going to heat up.
Right.
You're
right.
Really use hot plates.
Hot plates are definitely easier. Cause
how do you know it's a sure. Blech? Which part, if, I mean, I always thought that you're just not allowed to put it on the fire part. I thought anywhere
aside
for the fire.
I mean, there is, I think of Moshe Paskin that you can put it anywhere that's not yet to lettuce bowl. I think there's a Moshe's Psak. Others maybe had a different approach. But I have Moshe Paskin that you can't put it anywhere that's yet to lettuce bowl on the blech.
So how would you know just by touching it?
That's a good question. You have to, I guess, test it out. Maybe put some water, I guess, put some water on it, you know, on a Friday, and keep it on for an hour, and then take a thermometer and test it, see how hot it is. I'm not sure how else you can check it out. Okay.
Even if you put another pot, like, upside down.
Oh, okay, that's a good point. Right, if Shlomo, that's the machlokas of poskim. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach did allow the following. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that just like you can take kugel and put it on a challah pot that's on the flame, he said you could also take an empty pot and put it on a blech and put kugel on top of that. So, whereas by a hot plate it might not be necessary, but for a blech it is necessary, and according to Shlomo it actually works, that you could put it on that way. So if you have a blech and not a hot plate, just take an upside down empty tin, put it on anywhere on the blech that you want, even over the fire. Even over the fire itself. Yeah, according to Shlomo, even over the fire itself, upside down pot over the fire, and then put your kugel on top of that, or your cutlets on top of that. That would be okay.
Even if it's gonna get
yet to let us know. Right. Assuming it's totally cooked and dry.
Is there a problem with covering food on a hot plate with like a towel?
If it's totally covered, it's a problem. Because that's an issue of hatsumana. It's to be totally surrounded with a towel, top and sides, and it's on the hot plate, that's awesome.
But if there's just like a small towel that's just on top?
Just on top, the sides are open, that's fine. Right.
Okay, just I need a clarification that I
mm-hmm.
And we're saying in Bishal Achar Bishal with dry solid food that was totally cooked already. So putting it on the blech Shabbos day is
so
issue why?
On the blech is still a concern of Hachazara, of putting food on a fire on Shabbos. The issue is because it looks like you're cooking or because you might come to raise the flame.
Even if it's a blech that covers?
Even if it's a blech that covers it, the blech is only one of the components that you need to allow you to put on the flame on Shabbos morning. Other conditions are that it has to have been on the flame before, you take it off with dust to put it back on, you hold on to it the whole time. Just a flat blech on the fire. According to most poskim, you can't just put food directly on it on Shabbos morning.
And food's already cooked, it still looks like it.
Even totally cooked, yeah. Right. Ravadi Yosef for Sephardim allows it, but Ashkenazi poskim don't allow it. So, no, b'di'evet, if you go to somebody's house for Shabbos lunch, I've gotten this question before, and for whatever reason the person is unaware that you can't put chicken on the blech Shabbos morning and does just that. B'di'evet, if you're there for lunch, because Avad Yosef, as I just mentioned, I didn't see it inside, but I heard it quoted, does allow one to put food on the blech directly Shabbos morning, assuming it's dry and pre-cooked. So b'di'evet, you can rely on that if you're in someone's house to eat that food.
On the fire?
On a blech, on the fire.
Oh, meaning on the bluff, on the fire part,
Right,
right?
right, 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 right. So look, on Tehillah one should not rely on that because most Ashkenazi poskim, all Ashkenazi poskim reject that. But because there is that opinion that does allow it, so if you're at somebody's house who does just that, but yeah, but you could rely on that and you can eat it.
What would you like with the sauce?
With the sauce. Again, so Vidyav Da'ar Rishon that hold that there's no Bishalach and Bishal even on liquids.
Oh, okay.
Again, the Chatzchil definitely not, but Vidyav is what to rely on.
If you're in someone's house who serves directly with their crock pot still on flame, could you eat that?
Dishes, spoons out of it?
Yeah,
because that's also just a chumrah. As Mikudin, since it's totally cooked, you know, it should be okay. But we're mocking that, not to do it, but Vidyav is certainly you could.
Sorry, go back to the question that you asked before about the towel on top. What about a plata cover?
Plata cover, what's
Sorry,
that?
Sorry, a hot plate cover. In other words, they make them in Israel. It's made specifically for putting on the plata so that the material doesn't burn. You know, it's a specific material.
Yeah. Where does it go?
It's
go
like, not a metal. It's thicker than a towel. It's like,
yeah.
It's insulated. I've seen it. They call it like a buff. Like it's like an insulated... It's insulated fabric.
You put it over the food?
Yeah,
it's covered
food. So you have food, on the hot plate, and you cover the entire thing.
Well, it depends on the size. You know, they come in different sizes, so you can have one that just goes over the top, so the sides aren't covered.
Okay, if it just goes over the top, and the sides are totally open, it's not a problem. If it does cover the whole thing, it's a problem. So, if you look at an insulator for an urn, those blanket type things would be a problem, because that just covers the whole thing. So that you would not be allowed to put on Shabbos. Or even before Shabbos.
You're not allowed to use that before Shabbos?
The halacha is that if it's a hatmana that adds heat, so for example, you're covering something that's on a heat source where there's heat being generated, that's also even before Shabbos, going into Shabbos. So you shouldn't put you shouldn't cover your urn with a blanket all around going into Shabbos. Even if you do it on Friday, you shouldn't do it.
The five Tanai Chazara don't apply when you have an overturned pot on the
black,
right?
That's right.
Because the
right. Because the ultimate, right, correct.
Okay.
Right.
That was nice. The reason that the black is usher is one because it looks, I mean, directly on the flame is usher because it looks like cooking and it reaches the after lettuce bowl?
Yes, right,
those
right.
Two?
Correct.
Okay, so anything
correct.
That takes away from that, meaning an upside down tin is not a normal way of cooking, therefore it's okay.
Correct, right. It's not Mexican rashal anymore. And there's no concern you might raise the fire because your food's not on the fire, it's on a pot on top of the fire.
What if the tin, you know, kind of crushes down because it's empty, you put a heavy kugel on it in a prepared dish?
That's just
so
touching the block itself.
The tin.
Right. If it's just a flat
it's still
layer.
It's obvious there's like a tin. You don't put a flat tin on it, it's
right,
obviously
right.
In there, but it's actually.
I assume it's still okay. Meaning, obviously, you just put like a aluminum foil sheet across the block that would help. But if it gives it some
height,
why not just
should be okay.
Like, why not a cookie sheet or that's too flat?
It's just a flat cookie sheet. I probably think it's just like another layer of metal over the black. I don't think that'd be
not
good.
Not like
to
a
pot.
Jelly. Like the cookie sheets that have like a little bit of an edge.
Right.
Then you can put flat
it?
Over.
Okay.
Like a jelly one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
So on a hot plate, for sure, it's not a problem at all.
Oh, okay.
Hot plate, you don't need it altogether.
Okay.
Ask him at a blech. If someone's on Rabbah who allowed an upside down empty pot in a blech, would he allow that? Hard to know. I'm not sure. Maybe. If it doesn't look like it's, you know, if it looks like there's a pot in between, perhaps it would be okay. You know, the Kedera blech was part of this question.
Right.
Kedera blech was designed to be a pot, technically, which holds water to allow his heter putting kugel on top of it. Although if Shachter did allow it, I think many or most did not really like it. I think they felt that it didn't look like a pot. They felt that it was just, you know, extra sheet of metal. So maybe they would not like just a flat cookie sheet either. I don't know. It's hard to say. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Are there any circumstances where if you have a liquidy food that was in your refrigerator overnight, it would be okay to warm it and serve it on Shabbos?
Liquidy food? Only if you put it on a heat source that would never reach out to lettuce bowl, which is
and
likely not to be the case by a hot plate or by
right.
unless you had let's say a very large overturned pot
okay.
on top of your blech or hot plate, and the pot is so high up that although it would warm the liquid, it would never hit out to lettuce bowl. That would be okay.
But otherwise, there's really no circumstance where
You cannot reheat liquid to yes, lettuce though, right.
And if you just take it out to get it to room temperature with no heating element
That's
at
fine,
all,
totally fine.
that's fine,
Totally fine.
it will melt.
You can even put it next to a fire, again assuming it will never heat, yes, lettuce though. Because even though it actually warms it up, as long as it never hits yassa lettuce, that's okay.
All those Shabbos day recipes need to be dry.
Dry or not yassa lettuce though, one
or
or the other, right. Right.
Or
Okay.
chill it.
Right, I mean you can warm it by putting it near a fire, but not close enough that it would ever hit yassa lettuce though. So on top of a large pot that's on top of the fire or next to the fire on the counter, that would be okay.
So, with the glass, I'm wondering, the area close to the flame, is that considered okay or still
So the
not
so according
like
to Moshe,
near
according to Moshe, an area that's not yassa lettuce though, you could put anything on, from the fridge, not a problem.
Right, but how do you know,
Right,
like the thing, right?
that's part of the problem.
My mother uses the bluff and her stove is very large and she only leaves on one flame, so basically the area that's like diagonal from the flame
Right, the opposite
does
end.
not get
Right,
hot.
correct.
And that's where she cooks her food.
Right, or you can put an empty pot over the
Right.
fire,
Okay.
according to Shlomo Zalman, and then put something on top of that pot.
Right, but the pot is still covering like, you know, the radius of
According to Shlomo Zalman, you can put a according to Shlomo Zalman, you can put an empty pot over the fire itself.
Right.
Upside down pot over the fire itself and then put
Whatever you want.
whatever on top of that.
Right, but then what about right next to it?
So again
It still gets very hot.
Right, so you can't put food from the fridge on a part of the bluff that would get very hot. That you can't do.
Can you let's say you have meat that you took out of the sauce, but when you warm it up a lot of liquid comes out
That's
of it.
okay, that's fine.
Even though at the end there is a recognizable pool of liquid.
That's fine. Right. As long as you put it on, there's nothing really there, it's fine. It's okay.
Okay, aside from someone who let's say fills up water from you know their tea kettle on Shabbos, is there a situation where you would have to wait for something to cool to be able to eat it? Like if you went to someone's house and you saw it?
To wait for it to cool. And the halacha is that if somebody did do chazara be'isr, you'd have to wait for it to cool off before eating it. But again, because you have Avad Yosef who allows
Right.
putting it on the blech
I feel like we said a
in
lot
the fridge,
of things that there were
but you have it, it's
still
okay. The problem would be if you had someone who took food out of the fire, out of the fridge, and put it on the actual flame.
Not liquid.
What?
Without
Without a blech, right. Then you'd have to wait for it to
Oh,
cool
without
off.
even the minimum of even a blech. Okay.
Right, but if you have a blech, you always have the d'evet of Avad Yosef to rely on so that you can be able to eat it.
Well, if someone did chazara to their crock pot and it wasn't lined, then wait for it to cool.
So you're saying when you had one of those
Right.
right, crock pot with no lining on it.
But they serve Friday night and then they put it back and then now Shabbos day you have to wait for it to cool.
Chazara
Or I was at someone's house
yeah,
and she
that'd
lifted
be
up the
a
cover
problem.
of the crock pot and smelled it and then she put the cover back on.
So that's not chazara. That's more along the lines of, you know, not stirring when it's already totally cooked.
But that's not gonna mess you up.
I don't think so. No. Putting it back on, when there's no blech on it, that would be more of a problem, I think.
Okay, so what'd you say to do in that case? So you
Which case?
That last one.
When you take a crock pot off?
When the whole thing comes off Friday night, gets put back on Shabbos morning and it's ice cold and they're putting right on the fire. And you have to wait till it cools off
On
you?
the fire directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I would not eat hot. Right, definitely not.
Okay. At what
Cooled
point?
off to
At
yeah
what
to
point
underneath
would it cool?
yassa lettuce.
Cooled
But
off to the
not
point that it
too
was
cold.
before you put it back on.
So cold? So to cold, let's say.
Well, then
Yeah,
the radiator
right.
cooled and I just care
Cause
about the temperature.
you can't gain from okay you can't gain from the act of chazara be'isr. So you have to cool it off totally before eating it.
I heard you say you can't uncover a pot from flame?
I think there is a chumrah that just like you're not supposed to stir
Right.
While it's on the flame, you know, uncovering and then recovering is
Recover.
concentrating the heat, which enables it to cook, you know, more intensely. So certainly if it's not cooked yet, you shouldn't recover it while it's on the flame. Well, you can't take it off and put it back on either, it's not cooked yet.
What if it is cooked?
What?
What if it is cooked?
It's already cooked, so I think we'll completely take it off the fire and then put it back on. If you want to take a look at it inside.
And what if you want to just uncover it, leave it uncovered before you eat it?
That's fine. That's okay. You can uncover it, leave it uncovered, that's okay. Right. I think it's more the concern is more that when you cover it, you're concentrating the heat, it's allowing it to cook more and
Because like
further.
if it's watery and you want it
To try out, right. So you can leave it uncovered, that's for sure, okay. Yeah.
Back to the chazara be'isr, if someone took the crock pot out and put it back in and it wasn't lined, but it was still hot, so you would still have to wait for it to cool off?
Took the crock pot out,
took the crock pot out,
put it back
let
on.
Go, whatever, put it back in. It's not lined.
Not lined at all.
But
uh-huh.
It was still hot.
But still, it wasn't covered. There's no blech there.
Right. So I'm saying you have to wait for it to cool off.
Right, because you can't, once...
Because it was already hot.
That's chazar b'iser. Because once they put it back on a fire source with no
right.
blech covering it, it's chazar b'iser. So that you probably could not eat it then. While it's hot. Right. Wait till it totally cools off. Right. But it wouldn't be too appetizing if it's chilled, I assume. Okay, I think that's pretty much the basics of chazara. Any other issues that we didn't discuss? Like chazara, yes.
Just a quick question on the mana. Mm-hmm. When you wrap something in foil to reheat it on the hot plate, you have to leave.
That's a very good question. Yeah, so that's questionable. Meaning, you want to put, let's say, some kugel on the chol Shabbos morning to warm it up. So I did see some posts. Certainly, if you leave, let's say, the top of it open, it's not a problem at all. But let's say you just totally wrap it in foil. I think Sefer Ocha Shabbos writes that if you just put in the foil on it around it just to hold it together, which is often what we do, it's not a problem. It's more when you are insulating it to retain the heat that's being generated from the pot below. That's more of a concern. But so one layer of aluminum foil he says is okay, just because it's just holding it together.
Mm-hmm.
If you're double wrapping it,
completely covered, but it's just
I think he allows that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're double wrapping it already, that's more of a concern because then you're looking to insulate it.
I'm sorry. What was your question?
The question was with regard to hatmana, which is
wrapping
something totally and putting it, in a place where it's going to be warmed up. So the question is, can you wrap kugel or chicken cutlets in aluminum foil and put it from the fridge on top of your chalm pot this morning? So the halacha, according to Orcha Shabbos, is that if you're only wrapping it in one layer of aluminum foil, just for the purposes of holding it together, that's okay. But if you're double wrapping it because you want to insulate the heat that as it's heated, that's a problem.
For one layer, now I'm thinking now if I take something frozen out of my freezer, like a kugel,
mm-hmm.
and I'll put it on my hot plate, and
right.
I'll put a silver foil on top, kind of to, you know, like.
So hatmana is only if it touches it, though. Meaning, you're saying a tin foil pan or
no,
wrapping?
No, like a piece of silver foil, a pre-cut piece of silver foil
right.
on top of my round dish.
So as long as you don't wrap a round dish, meaning the kugel's in a dish.
Let's say it's a kugel. Let's
right.
say it's like
right.
a little broccoli kugel.
Right.
And I'll take, and it's coming out of the freezer and it's frozen.
Right, so you cover it.
So I'll cover it with the silver foil and put it on.
So as long as you don't wrap it along the sides, you should be okay. Hatmana is only if you... Hatmana is only if you wrap the entire thing
right.
all around.
So you put the bottom part of the plate.
I mean, no, the bottom is on the hot plate.
Don't
wrap the sides around. Right.
Uh-huh.
You can cover the top, but don't line
you
the sides.
No, but can you crimp the edges?
As long as you have part of the a significant part of the sides exposed still. You can crimp the edges around the handles or around the top lip of the pot of the bowl, but leave a significant part of the sides of the bowl just exposed. Right.
Even the meaning the bottom part of the bowl.
The bottom part is on the hot plate, right?
Right.
So that's considered insulated and covered. The sides of the bowl that are open to the air, that's
okay.
what you want to leave uncovered. So you can cover the top and even fold it down along the sides, but leave a significant part of the sides open to the air.
And with a warming drawer, all the same thing applies.
So warming drawer, you should cover the controls so that you don't forget to and raise the controls on Shabbos.
Okay.
And then assuming that warming drawers are never used for cooking, I assume they're not, right?
Right.
They're never used for cooking, and the controls are covered, so you might not raise the settings, then that's it's like a hot plate. It's never used for cooking. You're not going to raise the settings because they're covered over, or if you remove the knob or whatever, however it works. And there's no hot tamana there because there's nothing touching the pot of food itself. You just put it in. It's like in a big...
So you don't need a lining. Like
I don't think so. Right, it's like hot plate. There's no fire. There's no heat source. Is there a flame there?
No.
There's no.
No, it's kind of. It has a control. But
right, but there's no flame there. It's like a hot plate.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
a covered element.
You can't
cook there. No one cooks there. So it's like a hot plate.
Okay, so you have either remove the knob or cover the
right.
knob.
Right.
And in terms of the heat source, it could even get as hot as a hot plate does.
Correct. As long as nobody cooks in it. Meaning, if people never cook in warming drawers, then it's like a hot plate.
In terms of covering things, can you, let's say, right when Shabbos starts, you take something off the heat, off the flame, and then you wrap it up with a towel or something to keep it warm until Shabbos
as you're taking it off the flame and then you're wrapping it in a towel and keeping it off the flame.
Correct.
That's okay. That's fine. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. On Shabbos, you would not be allowed to do that. Meaning, if you had soup that was on a blech,
uh-huh.
and you take it off the blech on Shabbos, and now you're wrapping it in a towel, that's a problem.
Okay, but
before Shabbos, you're allowed to wrap it entirely if it's not on a heat source.
Right.
And it's not an electric blanket. There's no heat generation going on there.
Right.
On Shabbos, even if it's just a regular towel, you couldn't take it off the fire and wrap it entirely. Oven, oven you cannot, because in an oven you cook in.
Right.
So it's like regular chazara, it's like putting something back in the fire.
Even
doesn't matter, right? Right. It's like stovetop on a low setting. You couldn't put anything back on it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.